Father, we're so thankful to be here. We pray for your protection upon this congregation. Lord, that you'd watch over us. We pray for your protection upon our community and our state, Lord. Lord, I pray that people's eyes would be open to their need for you, Lord. Those living in fear, those that are full of anxiety, that they might find rest in knowing you and living for you, Father. Please lead me now as I read your word. May you speak to each and every one of us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So the title of the message is Let Us Not Give Up Meeting Together. Maybe I should have preached this message last weekend, huh? Maybe we'd have a bigger crowd today. But we're going to begin in Hebrews chapter 10 in just a few minutes. But if you guys remember, 2 weeks ago I preached on how valuable you were. I don't know how many of you remember that or not, but how valuable the price that was paid for you. And then last week was Mother's Day, and I talked about how do we value our relationship with our Heavenly Father, and about mothers giving out of their poverty. Why? Because they value who they're giving to so much. So my question today is, how much do you value the church fellowship of believers? You know, I was reading up and I just kept thinking about the stages of loss. And I know that when you lose somebody, you go through different stages, and some of you had greater loss than I've had. But there's kind of a stage that you go through of great sorrow, denial even, and then kind of to where you get to where it's bearable, you can live with it, and even to the point to where, and not in every case, but you accept a new normal without that person. And I was thinking about that for the church, and I was thinking about the kind of the stages that we've went through with kind of the loss of fellowship, the loss of church. Maybe for the first week or two, you thought, hey, I've got a break. This is nice. I'm sleeping in on Sunday mornings, or, you know, I don't have to get up and hurry, or Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. Man, I can do this and I can do that. And maybe that was the first week or two, but then maybe the second or third week you go, this is just kind of strange. I should be at church. I'm missing everybody, and I hadn't got to see how so-and-so's doing or whatever. And 2 or 3 weeks go by, but then if we're not careful, after that, it kind of becomes a new normal of just not being together, not getting up, going to church, and you kind of lose the habit. Is this making sense? I don't know if any of y'all went through these stages or not, but you can kind of go through stages, and then all at once, you don't even think about coming to church on Wednesday nights or Sunday nights or Sunday mornings anymore, because we're not having it, and it just becomes kind of the new normal of not being there and watching it on film. And this has all been going around in my head, and then I watched that Francis Chan this week. It's like a 14-minute sermon about God hitting pause right now and what the church is going to look like when we come out of this. And it all kind of went in with where my heart's at. And what I want to ask you this morning is, how much does the church really mean to you? Do you truly value the relationships here? Because this is the church. It's us. It's not this building. It's a body of believers. How important is it to you? How much do you value it? Is it important enough to pray for each other? Is it important enough to be here even when you don't feel like you want to be? You stayed up all night, you slept in, you're rushing around at the last minute. I mean, how valuable is the body of believers to you? I can't answer it for you, I can only answer it for myself, and there's times that I've came to church that I've been heartbroken. There's times that I've come to church And I've been in a bad mood and grouchy and things going on in my life. There's times that I've come to the church all excited and full of joy, and then, you know, but I come because you guys are important to me. This body of believers is important to me. But my question to you is, do we sometimes when something's been gone for a long time, it just kind of loses its value and you quit thinking about it as much. And you get too far away from it, then it becomes the good old days, right? And then all at once it was a lot more wonderful than what it really was when you were living in that moment. But time gets away. For example, we used to come 2, 3, 4 nights a week up here and play volleyball. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. It was a blast while we were doing it. But we all kind of got burned out. We started getting hurt. We're getting older. And all at once, we kind of stopped playing. And for the first month or two after we weren't playing anymore, you might get a text here or there. Anybody want to play volleyball? Well, I've got this. I've got that. And it just kind of faded out. And now, you know what? It's been a long time since anybody's asked me about playing volleyball or even brought it up. Why? Because we don't even think about it anymore. Does that make sense or not? You guys can nod or say no or yes. And so what I don't want to happen is the fellowship here, and not just here, but in the United States, to turn into that, to where it just becomes a distant memory where we don't really think about it anymore. And we sit at home and we flip on a video and we watch the preacher preaching and there's never any action. There's never any fellowship. Let's go to Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." Now, some of y'all, and I didn't send it to everybody, but some of y'all, I asked the question 2 or 3 weeks ago, what does the church mean to you? And why did I ask that question? Because I wanted you to really think about what does the church mean to you. And I don't want you to forget about how important this body of believers is. And someone had sent me this verse. I'm not going to say who, about us continuing to meet together and encourage one another. Actually, maybe more than one person sent me this verse. Some of you responded. Some of you didn't. One of you responded in such a way, I broke down and cried. It was so beautiful. It touched my heart so much. And I had to let Crystal read it. I couldn't even read it to her what was said. And it was just so beautiful and touched my heart so much. And it blew me away. But this is saying here, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. The habit comes by not meeting together, right? The habit comes when you miss 6, 7 weeks like what we have. So it's getting scary that a lot of churches still aren't meeting together. And what's the new habit now? It's to not come to church anymore. Let us not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another. Why should we be here? Because we should consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That's why we should be here. And y'all, that's why we're praying so hard about the changes that need to take place. Because what needs to take place is us encouraging one another, spurring one another on, loving one another, not kick back, letting Pete preach to you, letting Tim preach to you, letting Kyle preach to you. It should be the interacting of the body coming together. Like we're going to do this week, we're going to go help Tom with his fence. That's the body of believers coming together. Like when we see a need, we're there for one another. And we're so close to one another that we recognize when someone's hurting, when someone's missing, when someone's not here, that we love them so much. And then we're calling them and we're encouraging them, not criticizing. Why weren't you at church? I can't believe this is the second Sunday you missed. No, but hey, are you okay? You're missed when you're not here. We love you. We need you. Does this make sense? But the habit is becoming to not be together at all. So now we need to come back together and encourage one another and spur one another on. We lose sight of the need for it. When we get out of the habit, we lose sight that we need to be there to encourage one another, to not forget why we're supposed to be here, to not forget what we're supposed to be as a body of believers. I'm going back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 12. And I usually read this at Mother's Day and Father's Day. We usually end up discussing these verses more than once or twice in a year. I didn't read them last week for Mother's Day. And so I just want to read these few verses. But verse 12, I think, is the main verse that I want to concentrate on. But I'm going to go ahead and start at verse 5. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your heart. Hearts, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." So let me ask you something. Is it better when you're at church? Is it easier to live that out? I gotta be honest, it is for me. Because what's happened with me is, I'm so busy with work, I'm so busy with things, and all at once, I don't even know what day of the week it is, because Wednesday used to be my dividing point. Some of you that are working at home and staying at home and doing different things, you lose track. Okay, because Wednesday was our dividing point. We hadn't had Wednesday night services in a while, and so all at once things have changed, and you guys, I said last week, I'm bad about getting things in my mind and that consuming me, from looking at new trucks to the stock market to all these different things, and all at once, that's all there in my mind. And what I should be talking about, what should be in my thoughts, in my mind, all at once, the world has come in. And it's taken over. Forsaking the fellowship, it's a lot harder to live this out. Verse 10 says, "When the Lord your God brings you into the land He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." And y'all, what I feel like can happen so quickly and so easily is that we eat and we're satisfied and we forget. We forget about the Lord. We forget our need for one another. We forget somehow that by forsaking the fellowship that we're okay, because we've got other things meeting our needs. We've got other things that's there to bring in and meet our desires and our wants, and all at once we forget how important it is for us to be here. We end up being like that sheep that's gone astray, and then we become an easy target for the enemy. Because when you're standing all alone, you're a lot easier target, but and when you come together and fellowship together and have one another. And y'all, where I feel like we need to go as a church is not to just be here, but to be in fellowship. Does that make sense? I don't know if you guys remember or not, but last year when we were gone on vacation and we got back, and I came to a Sunday morning service and I sat in the back, and God really opened up my eyes to how you can come in this church and there can be people sitting in front of you, behind you, beside you, and you still really not have a relationship with them. And you can slip right out as soon as the service is over and never have that fellowship that's needed. There needs to be a fellowship here so that when something's going on, we can recognize it. We can be there to encourage one another. You think it's not happening that people are falling away? It's happening, y'all. Things I've heard in the last few weeks that just blew my mind and broke my heart about men of God that I thought were men of God that's fallen away. And I'm not talking about a little stumble. I'm talking about a crash. And I never knew. They come to church and they put on their smile and they put on their happy face and everything seems okay. See, we got to get past that point and get to the real fellowship so we're not that lone sheep that's wandered away ready for the wolves to come and attack. You know, in Hebrews it says how we may spur one another on, encourage one another. You may be saying, you know what, Pete, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm great. My relationship with God has never been better. This time at home has got me more committed to reading my Bible, has got me more committed in my study time with my family. My prayer life is wonderful. Praise God, I'm happy for you. But see where the Bible says that we may come and encourage one another, do you realize that maybe you might be walking just the best, most wonderful walk with God right now, but the person sitting next to you might not be. The person in front of you might not be. The person behind you might not be. You may be here for me, for my encouragement. You may be here to just put on your smiley face so that I've got someone to preach to this morning. And it brings encouragement to me to see all of you here. That might be your purpose in being here this morning. You might say, Pete, this message doesn't even apply to me. My walk with God is great. Well, praise God. But the person beside you, the person in front of you, the person behind you, it might not be. And they might just be putting on that happy face. And where Hebrews says that we may spur one another on, encourage one another. Church shouldn't always be about us being a consumer. There's messages on that and being a consumer. But it should be about, God, how can I serve? How can I help? How can I give? Not always, what can you do for me, Pete? You know, me and Tim and Kyle was talking this week, and I said, you know, have you ever thought about a person that if all you ever do is eat, is that feeding healthy? And I mean, it sustains life, but you need what? You need sunshine. You need vitamin D, right? You need exercise. You need to move or your joints get, there's many parts that you need. And see, as a believer being the body of Christ, if all we ever do is sit and go, feed me. Feed me, feed me. And we never do anything with it, then we're not a healthy body. We're not a healthy church. So that we may encourage one another, so that we may spur one another on, so that do we look around and say, these people have value. I value them so much that I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to give them myself. I'm willing to give them my time to go help a flood victim, to go fix a flat tire, to go fix a fence, to go visit with somebody, to give somebody a call, to shoot somebody a text, to take somebody a meal, to show up and come with them at the end of the service and wrap my arms around them and pray for them, to do whatever it takes. But Father, what would you have me do? Acts 20:35 says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the Lord Jesus Himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" So let me ask you, when was the last time you thought about helping the weak? When was the last time you thought, I sure would be excited to give of myself to help somebody? You know, this might seem weird, but I've got an old truck. It was Hayden's truck in high school. Now it's kind of our family truck. We use it to dump trash or whatever. But most of the time it just sits at my house and we use it to dump trash and that's about it. My brother, I've told him before, if you need it, come get it. I'll leave the keys in it. You're welcome to it. I tell my dad, you're welcome to my cars. You know, he's talking about making a road trip up to Michigan. I'm not going to borrow your car, Pete. Oh, Pete, he says, you know, and I'm like, Dad, you're welcome to my car. Well, my brother came yesterday and got my truck and took it. You might say, well, big deal. It was a big deal. I was excited. I was happy that he borrowed it. You might say, that's weird, Pete. And no, it ain't, because I'm glad that he did, because he needed it. So come get it. Keep it as long as you need it. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And y'all, in the spiritual realm, you think about the people in this body that need you. That they might be weak, they might be crumbling to their very soul, and it might be people that's been here for years and years, and you think they're supposed to be strong. It might be the new Christians, but we'll never know unless we become the church that God wants us to be. And we value each other. And we value this body of believers. And we break down our walls. And we just really get real. And I'm going to ask you, have you really thought about your relationship with God? And do you really value it anymore? Or has it just kind of become a back burner of... And my mind went to Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the heights from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. When I think of this, and I think of a love story. And I think of going back when you were first in love. When you had that first love, when you saw that, had that first glance, and your heart fluttered and skipped a beat. And I think about Jesus, and I remember how excited I was when I first believed. Man, I couldn't contain it. I was telling everybody. I had people even coming against me. You're wrong, Pete. And, no, I'm not. I'm right. Jesus forgave me. He cleansed me. I'm a new creation. And I was so excited. But now it's kind of like everybody knows I'm a believer. Everybody knows I'm a preacher. And that excitement sometimes fades, and it leaves. And the relationship, just like in a marriage, it changes, and it can get even better and better and better. And that's how a relationship should be with our Heavenly Father. But can I ask you this morning, is it? And if it's not better today than it was last week, than it was last year, than it was when you first believed, then maybe you need to go back to the beginning. When you didn't care who was looking at lunch and you opened up your Bible and you read. You didn't care who was looking and you blessed your food. You didn't care who was looking and you went up to your coworker and asked him if you could pray for him. And life was just so different. Remember the things that you did at first when you took time to get to know the Lord. How many of you need that today? To remember, to once again value your relationship with the Heavenly Father, to value each other, to value this church, to value the little ones and all the way up to the old ones, to value each and every one of us to the point that you're willing to sacrifice or do whatever it takes. Y'all, that's what the church should be. I ask that you would fall back in love with Jesus this morning and to prepare for what God wants to do in your life with this body of believers. May you value the relationship with the Lord and those around you and be willing to put in the hard work. Because with a relationship, sometimes there's hard work to be done. Sometimes there's confession. Sometimes there's forgiveness. Sometimes there's letting stuff go. You go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, reread what love really means. And that's the love that we should have for one another. And let's not just do the tradition of what church has always been, but let's make church be what the Holy Spirit, what our Heavenly Father desires it to be. I'm going to read these last two verses here, and I kind of laughed as I came to these verses. after I reread this sermon two or three times, and I thought, okay, Pete, are you losing your mind? Isaiah 43:18-19 says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Now, wait a minute. I just read in Revelations to remember the things that you did at first, and then here in Isaiah, I'm saying, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. Okay, well, what I'm meaning is, we need to remember how much we love Jesus. We need to remember how much we love each other. But we need to forget the things of the past and tradition and the way that things have just always been done. And verse 19 says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and a stream in the wasteland. 2 years ago, that verse, I preached on it on and off for probably 2 months, starting in January, because I just felt like God wanted to do something new. Y'all, I still feel like God wants to do something new, something even better than we've ever experienced before. You know, there's seasons for everything. There's times for everything. And yeah, I'd like to go back to playing volleyball every night, but I don't know if my body can take it. I'd like to go back to just being together and wanting to be together and loving each other and knowing what's going on in each other's lives and not be divided by a virus. But maybe this virus has just brought to light what's really been in our hearts of, yeah, I'm worried about my life and my family and the rest of y'all. Yeah, if I can help in some small way, I will. But otherwise, yeah, I'll see you next Sunday. That's not what God wants from us. It's not what God wants from His church. And it all begins with us valuing our relationship with our Heavenly Father first, above all others, and then being in love with each other. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. And Lord, I know that there's hard work to be done in my own life, in my own heart. And I believe there's hard work to be done in this church. Lord, I pray by the power of Your Holy Spirit that we would catch the vision of what You have for us, how You want to change things. But Father, may there be a desire in each and every one of us to have that real fellowship, that real relationship with each other, that we want to be there, that we want to help, that we understand it is more blessed to give than to receive, and that we will give of ourselves first unto You, Lord, and then to each other, and not do it begrudgingly, not do it in a way, Lord, that we gripe and grumble and complain, but Lord, that we would do it out of love because we value each other so much. May You begin to change our hearts. May You begin to change our mind. And may this fellowship be what You've wanted it to be. Lord, not just kick back listening to the preacher, listening to the song, but may we begin to participate. Begin to share what You're doing in our lives. Begin to share what You're doing in our families, in our minds, in our study time. How You're speaking to each and every one of us, Lord, and changing us and transforming us. And may we encourage one another and spur one another on. Lord, Your Word says all the more as we see the day approaching. Lord, we're seeing the days approaching in hard times and difficult times of job loss and disease and sickness and worry and all these things going on around us, and the enemy would want to divide us, and the enemy would want us to stop being there for one another. But by wisdom and understanding and Your guidance, may we overcome everything the enemy's throwing at us. And may You begin to do that new thing. May the streams of living water begin to well up inside of each one of us once again. Father, have Your way now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything this morning, you're more than welcome to come up, be at the altars. If you want me to pray with you, I will. I won't if you don't want me to. That's fine. But I would encourage you, just don't be in a hurry to run out the door right now. Ask yourself, do I value this body? Do I value these people around me? More importantly, do I value my relationship with my Heavenly Father? Do I take the time? Do I put in the hard work that's needed? However the Lord leads.
In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace,
are important to me, and you bring encouragement to me every time I see your faces. I'm thankful for each and every one of you, part of our family. I'm thankful for Darlene being here. She's part of our family, even though she doesn't attend here all the time. She's still part of the family of the gospel. I'm thankful that she's been here with us. Y'all, let's pray for our brothers and sisters, and let's see what the Lord would have us do, how He would have us change, what He would want us to do. It shouldn't be just coming and listening to me. It should be us hearing from each other what God's doing and loving one another and praying for one another and seeing how God's working in our life. And you know, I was saying that we were laughing about when Kyle in Sunday school say, anybody got anything to share? And it'll be like, mind goes blank. What? I can't think of anything. Or me on Sunday nights, anybody got anything to share? And I said, you know, like Thursday while I'm driving in my truck, God will be speaking to me and I'll think, oh, that would be really good. But then when Kyle says something, oh, I forget. What, you know, and I understand that happens. You're put on the spot and you don't remember. Maybe put some notes in your phone. What God's doing. How God's changing. How God's working in your life. And you never know when you might need that to help, to share. If anybody is willing and can help with Tom's fence, let me know before you leave. Just depending on, like I said, I'm off work on Tuesday. If I can get 4 or 5 guys together for Tuesday, we'll get it done Tuesday because it's calling for rain again at the end of the week. And if we can't, if we don't get enough guys, if it's not raining Saturday, we'll try. And if it's raining and we can't get to it, we might even try one evening, if we can get more people, like after 3 or 4 o'clock. I really think if we have 4 or 5 guys, it won't take that long. A couple sledgehammers and shovels and we can get it tore down. And so, But if you can help, let me know, and I will text you with the time and day after I hear from everybody of when we'll do it, okay? And so, y'all have a blessed afternoon.